the Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In the lesson this morning, please note how the action moves along so rapidly in Jesus' presence here. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the dominion of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus was passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for human beings." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated, and I would like to invite the children to come forward to help proclaim the good news of the gospel today. So today I have a question that I think every one of you could have an answer for, and here it is. What is it that you just can't wait for to happen? What is something that you like? Yeah. Can't wait for the new cousin to be old enough to play with you guys. That is tremendous. Yes, Ella. Can't wait to go to middle school. Charlotte.
Can't wait for summer vacation and going up to tomorrow.
What's happening tomorrow? First day? 100th. Your 100th day. Okay. Can't wait for summer vacation and celebrating your 100th day at school. Yes, Sarah. And your birthday. Can't wait. I can wait for my next birthday. But, but that's a tremendous answer. Liam, did you have something in mind? See, something you just can't wait for. More donuts. Well, I can go with that one. Yes, indeedy. Put it there, babe. Yeah. Haven. Getting a dog. Mom, where's the... Can't wait. Yes, Emma.
Can't wait to go to middle school eating donuts and playing with my dog.
Boy, that wraps it up. Eating donuts, going to middle school, and playing with the dog. Yeah. And let's see, there was one other that I thought was real cool that Avery had when I asked at my confirmation. She has a ticket to Hamilton. Can't wait. Yeah. I ask you that because as we hear the story today, Jesus is going around and inviting people to follow. It's pretty amazing that all these guys, they're out there fishing or they're doing their work, they stop just like that and follow Jesus, like they just can't wait to go along with the Christ. That's good news of the gospel. And the other thing is Jesus doesn't seem to be able to wait to ask them. And that's what I want you all to know, too. Jesus can't wait to ask you to follow, to be children of God. Jesus cares for you that much that he just can't wait for you to be part. It's like we baptized today. Just couldn't wait to say you are part of God's family. So it's kind of like all these good things, eating donuts and having your dog, going to Hamilton. But even more, following God and doing good things for other folks. Thank you for helping me today. Come and gather around and let's have a prayer together. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the blessing of these children, for the blessing of Esme Grace, and for the delight that you just can't wait to embrace us all in your love and care. We ask your blessing upon all this day. Fill our hearts with your goodness and open our hearts to those who are in need in the world. We all say amen. Huh? Amen. Thank you all. Thank you very much. It's rare, I've said this a number of times, it's rare, almost 99% of the time I have no title for my sermon. I was thinking, if somebody ever does ask, what I say is, oh, I'll get back to you on that. I actually think that should be the title of today's sermon. I'll get back to you on that. As we read the lesson, it's pretty clear there's no time to waste, at least in Jesus' mind and in his heart. Perhaps it is because John has just been arrested and anybody could see, things are trending in a bad direction. If I have hopes and dreams of bringing this good news, better get with it, better be in a hurry. There's no time to waste. And it says the time is fulfilled. Time in the presence of Christ, you might say in the presence of baptism, well, is full of everything necessary. So, is the community of God, whose rule is one of welcome, one of acceptance, full of humanity for all, loving care for all, is that something to be put off until later? Is the proper response to Jesus' invitation, let me get back to you on that. It's striking. As the children helped us understand, I think, that the call to new life, a new existence that came to Andrew and Simon, was met with this immediate response. They dropped everything. These two left their old life behind and followed Jesus. They didn't say, let me get back to you on that. A little further down the seashore, Jesus came to the Zebedee boys, James and John, also fishing. But their situation is a little bit different. Unlike Simon and Andrew, Simon and Andrew, they were kind of out there on the shore by themselves. They didn't have a boat, didn't have any hired hands with them. But the Zebedee boys, they have a boat, their dad is with them, they have hired hands. They got an enterprise going here. Maybe Simon and Andrew didn't have much to lose, but James and John, they've got prospects, it seems. But neither did they say, let us get back to you on that, Lord. Let us confer with our Father, perhaps. But that's really astounding, particularly, it would be astounding for our lives today, too, if we were asked to leave family and friends just like that. They are being called even out of very responsible and respectable circumstances, out of family, which I think by the response we learn even at a very, very young age is everything in our hearts. Emotional survival, business survival. The family, of course, was the unit of production in those times. So to leave was just example I can think of in modern life might be if you've seen some of the programs that depict Amish life. For a child to leave a family in that situation is almost totally unthinkable. This is very similar to what was going on with all these fishermen out there. But there was something critical, something crucial about the time. The Greek term for it, the time is fulfilled, is the kairos. And we've carried that term over into English. We speak of kairotic time, or a time that's So crucial, so critical. Well, everything is ready for something important to happen. Yesterday, a number from Bethel Church and a whole bunch of other folks from St. Louis and across the country took part in the Women's March. These marches are indicative of a time, a kairotic time, a time of kairos, a crucial time, a time calling for a new rule, a new way of being toward women. The fullness of time, if you will, for the fullness of humanity for women. A time when words and actions of abuse must be confronted with a new realm, a new way of acting. Certainly not a time or a moment to say, to abuse victims, let me get back to you on that. Last week, we encountered the story of Jesus bringing a new way of life to the disciple Nathanael, who had said, what good can come out of Nazareth? This stereotype, this elitist idea of that nothing good can come from certain places or from certain people. So through Jesus' encounter with Nathanael and his conversation, a new way of being was encouraged that did not accept racist and elitist stereotypes. And as we preach in this way, as we listen, as we think, as we gather together with Martin and Barry at adult education, we are saying and praying in our current context that we are at a kairotic moment, calling for our own president to have a change of heart, a metanoia, that's another word for repent, a change of mind, to it be an agent of good news for many. Not just Norwegians. Even though I married one, they're good, but don't we spread that out a little bit? Isn't that what the baptism promise is about? Jesus is walking down the shore in this lesson, or as we read it in our own context, down the streets, perhaps you name it, Ferguson or anywhere, also down the pathways of our hearts, calling us to follow him out of the world of racism, and into the realm of the living God who gives life to all. For too many centuries, we, our society, have told African Americans, let us get back to you on that. Or does it make sense when our own planet appears to be calling out itself, calling us for a change of mind and heart about how we live with and on it? Can we say, let me get back to you on that. Is today a critical moment for us personally, for you personally? Is it a time to repair perhaps relationships? A time to listen to God's call in Christ Jesus to incline our hearts to God, to help the neighbor, to help the outcast? What is the Kairos moment for you, the Kairos event? So much of my life I've said through my relationships with others or in the face of the need of many or to the opportunities that God places before me, let me get back to you on that. Reminds me of Dr. Hong's presentation today, of just kind of in the face of radical stuff that you're being called to, that maybe we don't always respond. And we think, well, that's not such a big deal. But it is. So the indifference of the world, whether it's ours or others, all included, whether because perhaps it's because of fear or self-centeredness or just indifference, colludes with active opposition toward Jesus. Isn't that the story of the crucifixion? Instead of accepting God's invitation to life in Christ Jesus, as we give thanks that Esme Grace did this day, and living in the dominion of God that is before us, perhaps we allow the time, the Kairos moment, to pass and the cross to loom before Jesus. It's no wonder he's in a hurry. But in God's story, in God's heart, the crucifixion itself becomes a kairotic moment. The moment of salvation, the moment of forgiveness, the moment of promise to new life, the time for all minds, all hearts, all beings to be transformed in the resurrection and in the forgiveness and in the promise of life. We live in a new age, the realm of God, which is drawn near into our hearts and communities. In the Gospel of Mark, it's a very interesting approach. Very abrupt start, a very abrupt end. At the resurrection, you may remember, there are no appearances of Jesus. Nobody sees him. But just a simple word from the young man who's in a white robe, letting us all know that Jesus is going before us where he started. Once again, what we read about this morning, in Galilee, there you will see him, there you will find him, there he will be, just as he told us in the very beginning, in the very story that we read this morning. So brothers and sisters, the invitation to follow, to life, to the kairos of a new way of life for all people, to care for the planet, to end misogyny and the abuse of women, to repent our original sin of slavery and racism in this country, and name whatever else we need a change of heart for. In Christ Jesus, no longer will we say, let me get back to you on that. The Christ, this day is before us. The time is fulfilled. Be the resurrection. It is in this way, following Jesus the Christ, that we have gathered for this special blessed event. This is truly a moment, a kairotic moment, a kairos moment, when time is filled full with the promise of life in the baptism of Esme Grace. And in her baptism, we are all called, as we all profess to share with her and to live with her and to confess the good news of the gospel and to help her grow up in that. There is no time to waste, because all time is filled with the good news, our connections to one another, to the fullness of life with God through our trust in Christ Jesus. In this kairotic moment of blessing for Esme Grace, we all know once again with her that Jesus is going before us all, calling us, leading us, loving us. Believe the good news, Jesus invites. You are embraced by Christ in forgiveness and life and love. The dominion of God, the community of life before us all is before us now and with us. Amen.